Well, good afternoon, everybody. We are ready to continue with program number 38. I'm not sure how long a program this will be. We have other things to do tonight, too. Today is the 2nd of December, and we're on page 96. We've been talking about impressions and how one must not necessarily seek them out and learn laboriously to ascertain, to hold, and to seize upon. In fact, there is a different method. And they drop, we're told, into the field of consciousness which he has created. Because he has created a magnetic aura which invokes them into invokes them and brings them into his mind. This magnetic aura, DK tells us, begins to form itself from the first moment he makes contact with his soul. So, let me suggest that new types of impressions that have been inaccessible before this time begin when true soul contact begins. Now we make it seem so easy to have soul contact, but in fact conscious soul contact is perhaps rarer than we think, even though the soul has been involved attempting to invoke the personality of the aspirant or disciple. And this magnetic aura, this is part of our segue, this magnetic aura deepens and grows as those contacts increase in frequency and become eventually an habitual state of consciousness. So there will, from that time on, always be rapport with the soul, and always be new types of impressions which were either ignored or simply did not occur before true soul culture was undertaken. So then, at will and at all times, he is en rapport with his soul, the second divine aspect. And well, we might ask ourselves, is it so for us? There are so many distractions, so many things occurring within the personality which distract our attention from real ongoing soul contact. or at least from the recognition that it is occurring. When working with the Arcane School and everything that Master DK has provided through Alice Bailey, I find that I was above all a student of the teaching, more at first a studious type than a meditator. As time went on, and having read from intellect to intuition, which was written by Alice Bailey herself, I slowly discovered that meditation was what she was really trying to teach, and that if one had an unbalanced approach, for instance, excessively studential approach, and ignored the meditative possibilities on a daily basis, or at least did not go as deep with them as one could, one was disrupting the balance. So it has taken a while for that to really sink in. I'm sure we all learn our lessons. I went to work there 40 years ago, 41 years ago or so. It seems like just yesterday, and hopefully along the way, learned a few things, just as you will learn where any imbalances in the trio of meditation, study, and service may be found in your approach. Now, if we go on to program number 38, we have a section here called Paralleling Spiritual Development. And let's see what Master DK says about this. I'm just so impressed with this type of instruction. It's unusually rigorous in my view, and perhaps more difficult to assimilate than at first we might have thought it would be. I'm just checking to make sure that we have the kind of setup here that we need. I have the original sound off, because that helps to not overemphasize any kind of additional noise from the breathing process. Hopefully that's going to work. So Master DK goes on. He says, it is this aura which is in reality the reservoir of thought substance upon which he can rely. Okay, now this is the advancing disciple who is at will, eventually, and at all times, on rapport with his soul, that is, with the second divine aspect. So a magnetic aura has formed itself from the first moment that he has made contact with the soul, and we're going on to discuss the qualities of that aura. Okay. It is this aura which is in reality the reservoir of thought substance upon which he can spiritually rely. Okay, now that's going to be a very important statement. And I'll just try to bring it out and bring it home. Thought substance, thought energy, upon which he can spiritually rely, both to be in touch with higher impressions and to be useful in some scale according to his own status in helping others. His point of focus is upon the mental plane. Now just pause for a moment and see, is that the case for you? I'll do the same. Sometimes the appearance of unexpected karma will temporarily, it seems, distract and raise emotional issues, but they can still be focused upon from the mental plane. And then it says, DK tells us, he is no longer controlled by the astral nature. He is successfully constructing the antikarana, along which the higher impressions can flow. Okay, so that's another function of the antikarana, allowing the flow of impression to impact his magnetic aura. He is no longer, and this, I guess we have to bring that in, he is no longer controlled by the astral nature. Now, without knowing it, so many people simply are controlled by the astral nature. But sometime in the neighborhood of the second initiation, or between the first and second initiation, but closer to the second, he can take advantage of DK's instructions in constructing the Antikarana. Now, in a way, the very first ongoing meditative attempts to contact what we call the causal body or soul is a foundational aspect of constructing the Antikarana. It is a triangle, after all. And we have seen that triangle. Let's see if I can find a way to illustrate it here. Well, here's what I wanted to show you. And if I can get this down, yes. This whole triangle is the Antikarana. This first line from the mental unit into the area of the jewel and the lotus is, in a way, the part of the Antikarana which is first built. And then there will also come an extension eventually from the middlemost center to the monastic permanent atom. But what DK has been teaching us is the way to use a strange combination of words to bypass the soul, or bypass the causal body, and then to extend this particular bridge into the higher, into the spiritual triad. So what I'm suggesting is that a beginner cannot really get to work on this mercurial bridge, the bypassing bridge. But as we come closer and closer to the second initiation, the capability of building that bridge begins to be established. There is, as you know, a very large section a very large section in the rays and the initiations, gosh, almost 100 pages about using the words of power to build this bypassing bridge. It is maybe the final method that we can use, and it has potential to touch those areas of the higher points of tension from which impression can come and make its impact upon the magnetic aura of the individual. That's just a little review in our ideas, but or thoughts, just to know that the Antahkarana is in a way actually triangular. Okay. And now we can resume where we were. Okay, so we took a little detour there to show in a graphic form the triangular nature of the Antahkarana. And maybe one has to be able to focus one's consciousness actually within the causal body, egoic lotus, as he recommends in the beginning of Letters on Occult Meditation, because he says otherwise meditation will not really be successful. Maybe one has to do that in order to build that bridge from the jewel area of the egoic lotus to the monastic permanent atom. And one has to wonder when that can possibly be done, to focus actually within the jewel area of the egoic lotus. But he does tell us that it is a necessity. So anyway, this magnetic aura is in reality the reservoir of thought substance upon which he can spiritually rely. His point of focus is upon the mental plane. Well, it comes to me that Aquarius is a very mental sign. Of course, there are the hill and valley experiences, the ups and downs, and you can be an emotionally focused Aquarian, you can be, but it tends to be for people like ourselves who are students of these things, a more mental sign. And so establishing our focus upon the mental plane turns out to be actually a line of least resistance during the Aquarian age. And we will no longer be controlled by the astral nature. And the type of Antahkarana which the Tibetan speaks of can in fact be built. Just a moment, I'll be with you. Okay. I just have to just pause this for a moment. And hopefully succeed in doing that. Having a little difficulty doing that right now. Okay, I will be ready in just another moment. Okay, resuming here, you know, this is not a sound studio, and there are many things to be handled here in the temple and all around. So anyway, this Antikarana, when he successfully constructs it, is the line along which higher impression can flow. Okay. And it builds up and builds up in such a way that increasingly he can rely spiritually upon the, well, shall we call it the third Antikarana? It's difficult to know. Either the third or the second. In any case, it is the Antikarana which bypasses the egoic lotus. And DK goes on now and says, he learns not to dissipate this inflow, this inflow of higher impression. I guess we have to call it that. He learns not to dissipate the flow of higher impression. DK calls it the not to dissipate this inflow, but to accumulate within the aura with which he has surrounded himself, the knowledge and the wisdom which he realizes his service to his fellow men requires. So to accumulate within the aura the knowledge and wisdom which his fellow men require. And the more there is an impression, may I suggest, a flow of impression along the Antikarana, the more he can accumulate accordingly and have it ready to be of service to his fellow men. Now, certainly the master has done quite a complete job, at least in human terms, of such an accumulation. And this is why Master DK can know so much about his students, and eventually perhaps about us when our relationship with him is established for the remainder of the seed group process. And who knows what relationship, in terms of the knowledge of the Aquarian age. Now here is from DK an important statement. A disciple is a magnetic center. A disciple is a magnetic center of light and knowledge, just insofar as the magnetic aura is held by him in a state of receptivity. It is then constantly invocative of the higher range of impressions. It can be evoked and set into distributing activity by that which is lower. And which is demanding aid. Okay. Again, important statements. So a disciple if he has a receptive magnetic aura he becomes a magnetic center of light and of knowledge. It is then constantly evocative, and it can be invoked by for distribution by those who are demanding aid. And is it not so that those who were gathered around him were demanding aid, just even as we are, constantly evocative of the higher range of impressions, and can be invoked into distributing activity, meaning that those who need the aid will receive it. Now, in the case of a master, may I suggest that the responsibilities are very great. Probably our responsibilities are much more circumscribed. When a new student enters a school, like the Arcane School, the School for Esoteric Studies, the Moria Federation, it's because such students are really demanding aid. And the range of the aid they receive is very useful and quite circumscribed compared to the aid received by an entire group that the master is supervising. So, may I suggest that we have to tend to this magnetic aura, and become a magnetic center of light and knowledge. And may I say that the entire group eventually has to become a center of light and knowledge. And then we'll be in the position, may I suggest, of groups helping individuals and groups helping other groups. The word help, you know, is such a simple word, but that is what we're talking about. Helping, aiding, distributing what is needed. May I ask, don't you feel enriched in your spirituality because of what Master Dike has been distributing through his books via Alice Bailey, albeit? I'm afraid we're just not sensitive enough to have him be effective without such a brilliant, hard-working amanuensis and intelligent amanuensis as Alice Bailey has been. And now, of course, other tasks of an even higher nature may be calling her. We don't know whether she again has been reborn and will serve as his amanuensis in his third installment, but perhaps it's a disciple on a different ray than AAB, who was so solidly on the second ray, more so than Blavatsky, who was another kind of amanuensis for the Tibetan. We don't know what those plans may be. All we know is that around the year 2025, the bridging work will begin again, and the Tibetan will make himself responsible for the further creation of bridging treatises towards the true knowledge of the Aquarian Age. So, going on with the Tibetan, the disciple, therefore, in due time, becomes a tiny or minute correspondence of the hierarchy, invocative as it, the hierarchy is, to Shambhala, and easily evoked by human demand. So, you know, there will be a point at which impression from Shambhala can come to the disciple, not the full impression, but something useful, and it can align him with divine purpose, and the new group of world servers can demand that hierarchy impress them, and that is possible for the disciple as well, through the smaller ashram with which he is affiliated, to the Ray ashram with which he is affiliated, and even through the hierarchy as a whole. So we are becoming, and always watch those phrases like in due time, because they counsel patience. The disciple can become a tiny or minute correspondence of the hierarchy, invocative as it is to Shambhala, and easily evoked by human demand. And let's see here. Well, in our own little sphere, we can be evoked by human demand. I wonder how many of us thought, when we entered the Arcane School, or the School for Esoteric Studies, or let's say the Moria Federation as the internet branch of the University of the Seven Rays, that before long we would be invoking others, and hopefully evoking them in a helpful way. Maybe we didn't think at first of our responsibility. Maybe we thought at first simply of the opportunity to learn. But then again, when we would first enter, let's say, the Arcane School, how would we know what discipleship really was, unless we had been informed through the reading of the Tibetan's books? Sometimes that would precede, I imagine, and through the culture of the Arcane School, what really was discipleship may have eluded us, but not for long. If we worked with consistency in such an organism as the Arcane School, or the other two schools that I mentioned. So think of it, then. You are becoming a tiny or minute correspondence of the hierarchy. That may be quite a thought. Think of it. And of course, when you look at some of the diagrams that DK has offered us, we see a blue circle, and we find that people of our type are within that blue circle, it is the circle of hierarchy. And there is, thanks to Keith Bailey and Tuya also, we have coloristically enhanced those charts so that they are easier to understand in terms of humanity, hierarchy, or Shambhala. Trying to think here. Let's see. Maybe I can go to this one and well, as you see, right down here, I hope you see the red circle, which is the Shambhalic circle, all the way up to the area where the council is meeting, the Shambhalic council, and it includes the monadic plane, three above, seven below, and then the circle of hierarchy, blue, and it includes the spiritual triad and the egoic lotus and certain points on the first subplane of various planes as we enter the personality area. And then finally humanity, which is the green circle. So that definitely helps us understand, I would say. And I wonder if I can, maybe not so easily, find the place where it talks about disciples of varying degrees being included in the range of hierarchy or Shambhala or even simply humanity. Let's see if I can get a little closer here and see if that there is a chart that tells us that aspirants and disciples and initiates of many degrees are included within the blue circle, but I'm not locating that this very moment, and I don't want to go on some kind of hunt, but it does include the spiritual types who are aspiring, who are working at their discipleship, who are initiates even up to the range of master. They are all included. Flashing into my mind is one of the non-colored charts. I'm just not sure where I might find that. No, I don't want to go looking for it because time is short, unfortunately. Okay. Now, going back to where we were. So, DK is telling us that these are points worth warranting careful consideration. They involve a primary recognition of points of tension and their consequent expansion into magnetic auras or areas capable of invocation and evocation. Okay. So it's always a two-way street. If you're getting help from above, you have to be able to offer help below. To look above, to help below. To dream not, nor to rest. We have the mantram, the pledge. I solemnly pledge myself with stern resolve, with earnest aspiration, and that takes into consideration the chain of hierarchy. So the recognition comes here of points of tension which become very useful expansions into areas which can be impressed upon us and evoke us, and also which we can use to invoke others helpfully and impress upon them, will call forth their elevatory response. Okay. Now, you know, I'm thinking about a time that Tuya and I long ago visited Estonia on the day the Dalai Lama was putting in an appearance. And I may have told the story, but in terms of a magnetic aura, he began some of his work in a certain church, and you really could feel him sensitively, feel him and some of his entourage approaching the church. You could feel that aura. So it seemed to me. I don't think I was just giving in to exaggeration and imagination. There was a qualitative change of energy. And I imagine that, if we were in the presence of any of the great ones, the energy quality of their magnetic aura would be most impressive. Now, well, we definitely have quite a quite a bit of text here before we can run into this next area. And even more, the next complete section, if I can find it. Yeah, we're getting there now. But it's a lengthy section. I hope I didn't pass it by, because it seems that I didn't, and it is a long way from where we began. So we have days of work upon this section. I hope I'm not making anybody dizzy here with anyway, there may be time to do a little bit more here. These areas of sensitivity, didn't we just look at that? Well, I think aura and area, here it is. Here it is, a consequent expansion into magnetic auras and areas. And as such, they are capable of the two methods of the science of invocation and evocation. Okay. So, a little bit more. These areas of sensitivity pass through three stages, upon which it is not my intention to enlarge. Okay. Okay. They pass through three stages. And let's see, although he does not intend to enlarge upon them, he will mention them. And so we will see what is said. Sensitivity to impression from other human beings. All right, that's maybe the first. This sensitivity becomes of use in service when the needed magnetic aura has been engendered and is brought under scientific control. So that is perhaps the lowest form of sensitivity. The next one is sensitivity to group impression, the passage of ideas from group to group. And we'll note that the disciple can become a receptive agent within any group of which he is a part, and this ability indicates progress on his part. So I'll make a distinction in each case here. And within any group, we will find certain disciples who are more sensitive than others. Now, eventually, we will have the truly sensitive group reached by another impressing group, and it was towards this objective, or this was one of the objectives towards which Master DK was working. And then sensitivity to hierarchical impressions reaching the disciple via the Antikarana and later from the hierarchy as a whole, when he has attained some of the higher initiations. Okay. This is probably the highest form of sensitivity that DK is going to discuss. Sensitivity to hierarchical impressions. And the disciple can receive hierarchical impression via the Antikarana. He's not really in a position to receive the fullness of shambolic impression, but there is a growing ability to register impression from Shambhala. Okay, so reviewing sensitivity to okay, there are areas here that are expanded into magnetic auras or areas. I'll just maybe a tiny bit increase the size. And these areas of sensitivity pass through three stages. He's not going to enlarge upon them, just simply mention them. So other human beings are impressing agents, and they can be other human beings of relatively high caliber, in which case there will be usefulness when scientific control is engendered. Or is the prevailing state. There is sensitivity to group impression, and here it's not just another human being, it's a group that can impress the disciple. And this is progress. Progress on the part of the disciple to be able to receive from the group. But of course, group to group is what is even more earnestly desired. And then finally, sensitivity to hierarchical impression reaching the disciple via the Antikarana, which we know will extend into the spiritual triad. At this stage, maybe not into the very highest two subplanes of the spiritual triad, but hierarchical impression is of various kinds: a master, a Ray Chohan, and finally Sanat Kumara himself and the council. But that kind of impression is not received in its fullness, even by the master, and certainly not by us. Eventually, as we approach Chohanship and become ascended masters of the sixth initiation and liberated monads of the seventh initiation, then a truer impression, a clearer impression from Shambhala will result. So, it would be a value now, it would be a value, the Tibetan says, if we now consider three points which are concerned with sensitivity to impression, with the construction of the resultant reservoir of thought, and with responsiveness to invocative appeals. So three points will come into our consideration, and they are sensitivity to impression. Okay, I won't be going on much more. Construction of the resultant reservoir of thought, and responsiveness to subsequent invocative appeals. And these points are the processes of registration, processes of recording interpretations, and processes of resultant invocative response. Well, I would like to go on, but find that maybe it would be best to not to do so right at this moment, simply because there are other things that have to be accomplished. And I think in order to define these, we're going to need some really careful thinking, which I cannot give it right now because of the upcoming work for tonight, which has to be planned for. Yeah. So, three points. Registration, recording interpretations, and resultant invocative response, which in a way is evocation. So what I'll do is, you know how it goes. It's never very much that I can cover. We made it as far as page 97, at least, maybe a page, and so it went to 97. Program number 38. Not a long program. And I'll bring it down here to this point. We finished then program commentary 38. And today was the, is still the 2nd of December, and we're starting we started from 96 and went one whole page. And now the next one will be program 39, and maybe it will take place on the 2nd today yet, but I'll just exit and begin with page 97. Okay, that should be enough, and yeah. He does repeat in from different angles, and this repetition coming in at different angles is certainly helpful. So basically what I'll do here is I'll stop the recording and wish you all good assimilation of this material. I guess I'll wish myself good assimilation of the material, and Tuya is with me in wishing that, and Michael Gaeta or Starcrow, Mikhail and BL and Joe and Harold and Michael Stacy and Frederick, who's been helping us. We wish you a deeper understanding of this often very abstruse material. It is abstruse, which means very subtle, and in a way difficult to understand. And it's using a lot of terms which are not normally used by the concrete mind. These are terms formulated in the abstract mind as a result of the use of the magnetic aura, which has been developing in the user, whether it's a master or ascended master or even the Christ or even Sanat Kumara, even the planetary logos. We have a number of stations where from which impression can come. So I'll, hoping for the best, I'll turn off the, I'll stop the recording, and then end this program, and at least you'll have a little something today, even though not a long program, and maybe later it will be possible. Okay. Lots of love and many blessings from all of us. We'll see you now.